Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Father God, I thank you for the Word today, and I believe you'll inspire it like you did the first service. I believe you're going to anoint it. Please give us ears to hear. Please give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Listen to me. This is the style that God has developed here. I'm going to start teaching, and you're going to start hearing God talk to you about your situations. We release him right now. We've been doing a Bible study in 1 Corinthians because God told me a couple weeks ago, he said, bring my people back to the written word. Bring them back to the written word. We're a Bible study church. You can bring your Bibles and scribble in them. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians 11. But before we get into it, listen to me closely. I'm going to go back to a little illustration I used 2 or 3 weeks ago. Let's say I started a club, the Cowboy Traveling Club, the CTC. I said, you want to be a part of my club? We travel and we have all these great things we do, but you got to either have 2 pictures in your house of cowboys, or you have to go out and touch a cow 3 or 4 times in the next year, or you have to buy a cowboy hat and wear it on our trips. They aren't hard things to do, but if you want to be in our club, you have to do them. And you have to sing the cowboy songs. When we gather around the fireside, you got to sing with us. And you go, well, I want to be a part of the club. I need to be a part of a club. Whoa, I want to be. But I don't like the cowboy songs, and I'm not buying a cowboy hat, and I refuse to touch a cow or a horse. Well, then guess what? You don't have to be a part of my club. It's easy. But I want to be. Then do what we ask you to do. Obviously, the kingdom of God is not a club. But the Lord says, you want to follow me, be baptized, repent of your sins. And then he has other things that he recommends for us to do. And so this is the lifestyle of the kingdom. If you want to be blessed, you don't have to do what I'm telling you today to go to heaven, but you need to do it if you're going to be blessed. Now, with that in mind, listen to me closely. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to who? All men. And then verse 12, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Matthew 7, 13, 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. There's not many people that are going to read the Bible, study it, and actually obey it. Very few in comparison to society at large. But we want to be blessed. So we study the Word, and then we try to live the Word, and that puts us in a place to be blessed. Now, listen to me closely. Luke 11, 28. But he said, on the contrary, blessed. Blessed to the point of being envied. Blessed to the point of other people wanting your lifestyle are those who hear the Word of God and observe it. Now, with that said, we need to be reminded that when you become a Christian, you've signed up for a counter-cultural lifestyle. The people of the world will not understand the way you're living, and don't expect them to, because they don't acknowledge God. They don't acknowledge the Bible. What I'm teaching you today, people in the world will go, oh, that is stupid. Yeah, to them, because they don't acknowledge God or His Word. But God says, no, it's the pathway to blessing. 1 Corinthians 11, let's dig in right now, verse 1. Be imitators of me, just as I am also of Christ. Whoa, I'm already so convicted, I don't know if I can go on. That verse nails me. Can I say that? Be imitators of me, as I imitate Christ. I have a hard time saying that. You know why? Because I haven't grown to the point that Paul was at. But I want to be able to say that. See, today, we need to grow. We need role models. Jesus came along and he fleshed out the Word for us. He said, I'm going to show you how the Word works in practical, ongoing ways. Jesus fleshed it out for us. So did the Apostle Paul. They said, here's how to give up your life for God. I'll show you how it's done. Here's how to love the unlovable. Here's how to take a stand for godliness. Here's how it's done. Now, their stories impact our lives so much. But had we hung around them on a day-to-day basis, we would have really been impacted. Now, listen to me closely. Jesus came to this earth to flesh out the word for us. Then he gave a baton to us and said, now you flesh out the word for other people. It is a huge job. Again, I'm going back to Charlie Garcia. He impacted me like no other. He fleshed out the word for me. He went on vacation with us a couple times. I remember one time we're in Hawaii and we're in a bus going somewhere and I'm back there, you know, trying to text the church and do business and I'm not even talking to anybody, but not Charlie. He's up there with Patty and he's talking to the bus driver. Really? Pastor Ron, did you know he's a native of this area? Yes. And Pastor Ron, his parents go to church and they're praying that he'll go to church someday. Isn't that cool, Pastor Ron? What's your name again? And he's just into this guy's life. And I go, whoa, that's the way it's supposed to be. He wasn't preaching to him. He was just loving the daylights out of that guy. Doug Loman, when I had leukemia, he was the only guy that every week would call me or text me and say, how are you doing? Are your spirits up today? Are you doing okay? Methodically, and I thought, whoa, that's it. That's so simple. I love it. Charlie Garcia was with him one time. He stopped by the little convenience store and he said, I gotta go in real quick. I don't need anything, but I gotta talk to this girl. I'll buy some gum or something. And he went in, and every week he'd stop by the store and invite the girl to church and invite her and tell her he's praying for her and he loved her. And her name was Monica Meadows. She is really involved in this church today. She is super big time involved. And I go, that's the way it's done. One day we were at a church. I took a bunch of the guys up to visit a church in Porterville, a little Pentecostal church. We wanted to encourage them. And I had about 12 of the guys with us. And the pastor comes out and he says, our drummer's not here today. Is there a drummer in the audience? And Charlie says, Pastor Ron, can I go up and play? And I go, what? Can I go up there? Now, here's this guy. He doesn't have to ask me anything, but he respects the position. He goes, can I? I sure, Charlie, you want to go up there? So the rest of us, Charlie was up there drumming, man. He was, you know, it was so cool. I told you earlier, I used to watch Charlie come in early morning, every morning, lay on his face for 30 minutes praying and seeking God. And I go, that's the reason that he is so close to God. I watched him every morning, rain or shine, and see, I want to grow to be more like Charlie. Because Charlie wanted to grow to be more like Paul, and Paul wanted to grow to be more like Jesus. And so we need role models. And I don't know about you, but I see so much room in my life for improvement yet. I'm not there. I want to be able to say what Paul said. Just at the outset, because this has touched me so much, let me give you two or three things before we move on about growing in Christ. Number one, we grow in Christ only when we have a desire to grow. You have to want to grow. Ephesians 4, 14, 15. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects. Grow up in our speech, grow up in our actions into him who is head, even Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of our eternity. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it's only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged. And the love of each one of you toward one another, it grows even more every day. We're just blown away. Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more and more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. We got to want to grow. Kids always want to grow. We say, what are you going to be when you grow up? I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a nurse. I'm going to be a policeman. I'm going to be vice president of the United States. I don't hear that very often, do we? But they always want to be something. And And they usually settle for less. I want to go deeper. I want to grow. I told you, this is not news to you. If you've been around any length of time, you're going to know this. I've always had a concept that when I get older, I want to be so deep in Christ that I just buy a little mountain house or something. I have a porch, and I sit around from 8 to 12 every day chewing on a blade of grass, and people from all over come to see the man of God. And I just chew on a blade of grass. And they come up, and they go, "Man of God, how can I learn to hear God?" And I'll just look at them, and I'll be silent for 5 minutes. And I'll say, "Give him a reason to talk to you." Dismissed. Next car in line. "Man of God, how do I love my wife more?" Look at him. "Treat her better than you treat yourself." I have this vision, but you know what? If I'm going to become that, I got a long ways to go, man. I've got to grow. Number two, how do we grow? By staying nourished. We need spiritual nourishment. Our physical bodies teach us that. I like to go to the gym and work out, and I'm getting older. And, you know, I read that China study, and now I'm really against a lot of animal-based proteins. And so I switched from animal-based proteins to veggie proteins, and I can't grow muscle as much now because what you put in you affects. Now, if I eat animal-based proteins and eat a lot of fish and everything, I can grow a lot more muscles. It's what you put into you. Look at 1 Peter 2:2. Spirit, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Matthew 4:4, you've heard this a lot. But he answered and said to them, "Is written, man shall not live on cheese sandwiches alone, but on every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So if you want to grow, you have to hear God speaking to you all the time. That isn't the written word. That's when he speaks to you. Look at Matthew 5 and 6. "Blessed to be envied even are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." I'll tell you what, I hunger and thirst for it. I want to be like Charlie Garcia. I want to be able to say what Paul said. Look at Jeremiah 3:15. "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you on Bible studies and understanding." As you know, it's sad to say today, there's a lot of shepherds aren't after God's own heart. A lot of shepherds just decided they would make a living by doing that. There's others of us that we know we were called, and we hope and pray that we can lead you after God's heart. Junk food, you can't grow to be what God wants you to be eating spiritual junk food. Now, let's compare it to physical junk food. I have to have junk food every once in a while. I don't know if I could live a quality life without having Taco Bell once every 3 weeks. And again, a few Hispanic people make better food than that. I just don't think there's better food on the planet. I hope there's Taco Bell in heaven. Someday I'm still going to go in. I'm going to order one of everything on the menu. I'm going to sit there for 5 hours. And I'm just going to taste of it all. I mean, nothing could be better than that. If I was on prison row, last meal, I'm going Taco Bell. I'm telling you now, baby. It's Taco Bell all the way. And I have to splurge every once in a while. And same way, I want to feed myself, nourish myself with Christian spiritual stuff. Every once in a while, I have to see a movie. Every once in a while, I have to take a cheat day or whatever. But some of you, if you keep eating a Taco Bell, you're going to look like a Nacho Grande is what you're going to look like. Not good for you. You grow out, but not up. And the same way spiritually, if you don't eat enough spiritual food, you'll grow out and not up. The third way, thing about growing is you have to practice godliness. This last week, I made myself sick. I had to get onto a couple employees, and I did not do it right. I really did not do it right. And I went home and literally I thought I was going to throw up. For about 2 days, I thought I was going to throw up because I really was not Jesus to them at all. And I had to call both of them and apologize. And I was the point where I was just sick of myself. And If you want to grow up godly, you're going to have to practice apologizing. You're going to practice praying. You're going to have to practice reminding yourself that none of us have arrived yet. And we have to keep growing and keep growing and growing. When I was little, I had to practice a lot. I played the saxophone in honor orchestra, and I'd be in there practicing every day, practicing my saxophone. Baseball, we had a brick wall, and I'd practice every day. I took a ball for hours. I'd be out there throwing the ball, scooping up grounders, Football, I practiced in the street, which I still have scars from. Falling in the street. I mean, I don't know how many times I was skin up. But let me ask you a question. Why do we practice all kinds of things to get better, but we never practice being a better Christian? We need to practice. Look at Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature who, because of what? Because of what? Because of practice, they have their spiritual senses trained by practicing. Look at 1 Timothy 4:7. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for only old women. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. There's power in repetition. If I want to grow up, be more godly, I have to practice apologizing, practice listening to the word, practice tearing the word apart. Look at James 1, 2 through 5. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect results so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it'll be given to him. God is trying to train you to be godly. He's trying to get us to grow up, let go of our childish ways. Let me ask you a question. What childish way do you need to let go of? What is God saying to you? What area does he want you to grow up in? Is it the tongue? Is it showing more concern for other people? Is he trying to get some of you to share your faith with a waitress? Share your faith out in the world? He's saying you never share your faith. Where is he trying to get us to grow at? I am determined I want to grow till I get to the point where I can say, follow me as I follow Christ. Now let's move on, verse 2 and 3. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. Say, ouch. Yeah. Look at the word for head. In the Greek, it's kephale. Chief leader, or I especially like this part, a cornerstone uniting two walls. Jesus unites the man to God, and the husband must unite his wife to Jesus. That's our job. Now, this can also mean source. He's the head. Jesus is the source of our strength. God is the source of the strength of Jesus, and we're the source of the strength of our wife. We provide for them, and we bring money home, and there's a truth to that too. Let me tell you something, guys. It's a huge responsibility to be a godly husband. Huge. Now, God in his model of marriage, we're talking about marriage now, he has made the man to be the spiritual leader. See, I don't know about that. There has to be leaders in everything. For anything to run smoothly, there's got to be a leader. Today in the football game, what if there was no leader and they went to the huddle and everybody shared their own play? Well, you know what I want to do? I want to rend around the one. I want to, and there was no leader. What would happen? You'd too much time in the huddle. It'd be a penalty, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. What if there's no leader at the public school system and there's no principal? Every teacher just taught what they wanted to teach, picked their own curriculum. It would be a mess. Now, what does it mean to be a godly leader? Let's put some feet on that. First, you serve from the posture of servanthood. No woman will mind following a guy as a leader if he's being a servant. Look at Mark 10, 42 through 45. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them, but it's not the way it's supposed to be among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall become your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I'm the leader of my household. What does that mean? I've got to serve my wife with everything I have. What does she want? I need to go try to get it. What does she need? I need to go try to find it. I need to serve her. This is the only way it'll work. We used to sing a song, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Secondly, a godly leader serves by being an example of submission. An example of submission. I probably submit to Debbie more than she submits to me. You want to know why? Because she hears God better sometimes. See, there's mutual submission in a marriage. Look at Ephesians 5:21. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Who do you submit to in a marriage and a home? Whoever's speaking the Lord's words at the moment. I've had to submit to my kids before because they were speaking the word. But there still has to be a role. There still has to be a role. There has to be some kind of role. And I didn't come up with this. Don't look at me. It's God's word. It's his word. When I do marriage ceremonies, I will stop and I'll have vows. I'll say, Mary, repeat after me. As I know that God has created us equal in value and he loves us both the same, yet in the confines of marriage, he has asked me to willfully step into the role of submission. Now, Debbie and I have lived this for years. Almost every decision in our life, I can't remember but a handful of times when we haven't been able to come to a decision. When we have to make decisions, we do them equally. She gives me her input, I give her hers, we talk, we pray, da-da-da-da. And maybe a handful of times in our entire life where my wife said, okay, look, we can't decide, and we have to decide by Friday, so you're the leader of the household, you got to make the decision, but Jake, you better be right. I'm going to do it, I think I can do this, you know. Ron, my professor of religious studies says that that's cultural and we shouldn't go by this anymore and blah, 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 blah. You know what? I don't have to listen to these people and because I have an advantage over them because I walk with God. God talks to me. And I have a God story. Some of you heard this before, but I mean, this is the craziest God story. Oh, my goodness. Listen to me for you new people. I don't embellish these. These are just the way it happened. Now, listen to me again. I really believe that Jesus loves my wife more than he loves me. I really, really do believe that. There's not a doubt in my mind. He loves her more. I really think my wife's the more godly person in our marriage. I do. I think she's the more godly. I've got this role, but I think she's the more godly person. And usually she's always right, 90% of the time. But there was one time I was right. And wait till you hear this. This is exactly how it happened. Some stuff was going on, and Debbie was persisting. We do it this way. And finally, I said, Debbie, let me lead. Debbie, would you let me please be the leader of our household? Please. You might have heard the two guys went to heaven. This guy was up there, and they said, this line here is for all the men who are the leaders of their household. And this line over here is for all the men that weren't the leaders of the household. And I just forgot the punchline. Forget it. I didn't have it last year. It was a good joke. Anyway, the guy in the line said his wife told him to stand there. I don't know what the joke was. Back to the God story. Mine went right out. Back to the God story. I told my wife, I said, please, just let me lead, please. And I remember she was mad at me. We got in the car and drove up by University Park and Park. And I'll never forget this. I mean, this was crazy. I said, Debbie, I beg you, let me lead in this. God's called me to lead. You've got to let me lead. You've got to do this, Debbie. And she was still kind of mad. Let's pray right now. And no joke, no joke. Say no joke. I said, right now, Debbie, open the Bible. God's going to start talking to you about this. I know he's going to back me up. No joke. She opened her Bible to Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ the head of the church, himself being the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. I said, what do you think? What do you think? Did God show up and back me or what? You know. So there has to be specific roles. There has to be. If you want to be blessed. Now, you'll go to heaven if you don't do this, but if you want to be blessed, if you want to be blessed by God, we need to move toward these roles. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. In the same way, you wives, be submitted to your own husbands so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. This story I told 25 years ago, and I still remember it. This man in this marriage, he hated church, didn't want anything to do with church and hated it, but his wife was really a dedicated Christian and she went to church every Sunday. One day, the husband came to her and it was on Easter weekend and he said, look, I'm in this fishing club, as you know, and we're having this big tournament, fishing tournament in a beautiful mountain town, and all the guys are bringing their wives. And I know it's Easter and I know you don't want to miss church, but I want you to go with me. She went in and prayed and came back and said, I will go with you. And she thought to herself, I'm to be submitted to my husband. Under his authority, he wants me to go, so I'm going to go. So they went that weekend on that fishing trip, and they had a great time, man. She didn't go regretfully. She had a good time. They pitched in and everything and had a great time. Came back, and probably 2 weeks later, they went out to eat with another couple that went to their church. And while the guys are engaging in conversation, this husband overheard his wife talking to the lady. And she says, man, I can't believe you missed Easter weekend. You had the most prominent role in the play, and everybody's looking forward to you, and we know what that play meant to you. And afterwards, we had a standing ovation, and the pastor took us to his house, and you always wanted to go over there, and we had a party over there, and I can't believe you missed it. And she says, no, it was okay. It was fine. We had a good time on the fishing trip. That night when they got home, was getting ready for bed, he said, I couldn't help overhearing the conversation. You never told me you had a prominent role in that play. I had no clue what it meant to you. And then you went with me anyway. He said, I never knew. He said, and you told me that Jesus wanted you to go because it says in the Bible that women are to be submitted to their husbands. That's crazy. He said, you know, I've been thinking, I want to know more about your Jesus and about the Bible. He went to church and got saved. And she fulfilled that verse to the T. And God blessed because of it. He might not ever got saved if it wasn't for that. Okay, Ron, but I'm a single woman. Where do I fit into this at? The church becomes your covering. Look at Romans 16, 1 and 2. I commend you to our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of. For she herself has been a helper in the church. And so the church becomes your covering. Don't you be bashful, see when we come and get counsel from us and get prayer from us and we'll do what we can do to cover you. Now, submission is not an easy thing to do. You know, most Christians never submit in their life. They never submit. See, submission is different than obedience. Submission is that quality of life that says, I recognize that God has placed somebody over me in the Lord, and they're asking me to do something, and even though I don't want to do it, I will do it because I recognize them as being over me in the Lord. That's hard. Charlie Garcia and Mike Maggard have that influence in my life. Sometimes they might ask me to do something I don't want to do, because I really recognize these men, I will do whatever because I have to submit. Do you know how impacting that would be on your kids? Let's say going home today. See, submission, when you model it, it's unbelievable. Most Christians just do what they want to do when they want to do it. If somebody asks them, I don't care if you're owed me the Lord or not, I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. Let's say you're going home today and you're in the car driving with your kids. How impacting would this be? And go, hey, you know what? I've been thinking about selling that old motorcycle out in the garage. You mean the one you had since you were a teenager? Yeah, never ride it or anything. And the kids go, Dad, you said you'd never sell that. Yeah, but did you hear what the pastor said today? I want to buy a yellow golf ball. Pastors ask us all to sacrifice, and we need to do that. You know what those kids, their wheels are turning, going, oh my gosh, you're going to submit to the pastor? Yeah, I think I need to. I need to line up and do that. You would impact those kids. I mean, that's more than 50 units of college, man. Look at 4 through 9. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head. Now, who's her head? The man, the husband. For she is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved. If a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her hair cut off. But if it's disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off, then and shave, then let her cover her head. For a man ought to not have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now hang in there and don't get angry on me, okay? I didn't write this, I'm just teaching it. Verse 8, for man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed man was not created for the woman's sake, but the woman for the man's sake. Hang in there with me. Listen to me closely. The Corinthian church wrote Paul with 7 questions. He's now answering those questions. And one of the questions was, are women need to keep their head covered when they go in and prophesy and when they're doing church business, when they're in church doing church, you know, do they keep their heads covered? Now, Corinth was a diverse cosmopolitan city made up of Romans, Greeks, and Jewish people. It was a custom of the Jewish women and the Christians to keep their heads covered when they were out in public. Why? As respect to their husbands and the Lord. Basically, what they were doing while wearing a head covering, they were saying to the men out in public, I'm taken. Don't look at me to lust on me. Don't look at my beauty. It's for my reserve for my husband. That was their culture. We don't do this anymore. But one time a Greek scholar was asked, why don't your young daughters, why don't they cover themselves up when they go out in the public? He says, because they're looking for a husband. And my wife covers herself because she's trying to keep her husband. That's it. Now, listen to me very closely. We can modernize this concept. A woman kept herself covered. It was the culture and custom as respect to her husband. In other words, I'm not shopping for a man. You don't even want to look at me. Then we modernize this a little bit. Let's say you get up one morning, your wife is all duded out, man. She's got lipstick on more than usual. She's got a low-cut top on, high skirt, boots, man. She's taken her wedding ring off and laid it down, said, I'm going to the mall. You go, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute, Nellie. What's up? You know, you're not looking anymore. You're taken. You got that? And that's why the Bible says women should dress modestly and, you know, and use a lot of common sense about it. But some of these women here, you know, they were getting saved and they were going, you know, hey, off with the veils. We're liberated. I'll get back to that in a second. Why did God say man be the leader of the household? Well, it goes back to creation. The creation story says one day God decided to make man. And he took this dirt, this soil, this clay, and formed it into a body, and then he breathed the breath in it and went, and it became a living soul. It became a man. But the first man was created with too many working parts. He had traits of masculinity and femininity, both. I mean, one day he's out driving the tractor maybe, and he goes, hey, Fido, get down. Nellie, get out of that field. Nellie, get out. Jake, God, you know. And then the next day God goes out and he's in a corner crying. He's going, oh no, what's the matter? It's that gorilla. It's giving me dirty looks. Am I ugly or something? Did I say something wrong? And God probably said, eat a Snicker bar, Adam. But God looked at Adam and said, this isn't cool. Everything he made, he said, this is good, this is good. He looked at Adam and he goes, this is not good. He's got masculine traits and feminine traits. This is not good. And so what did he do? When he made man, he didn't do the same way as the man. The man, he took the soil, made the clay, breathed into him. When he made woman, he caused a deep sleep to come over the man. And as he slept, he took out a little bit of softness, tenderness, gentleness, stuff that smells really good. And he put it in the woman. And then when the man saw the woman, he woke up. He goes, wow, this is it. I need some of that. Why? Because he lost some of that. He was missing something. The man has the man, but he's missed that softness and tenderness and gentleness. So he sees a woman. He goes, woo, woo, you know, I want some of that. I like that, see. And so then God brings them back, and through marriage, he makes them back into one flesh, the original Adam that he created in the Garden of Eden. Oh, wow, what a masterful plan, God. So some of the women, when they got saved, they're going, now I'm a child of God. I'm not subjected to anybody but God. Off with this veil. I don't have to be under this man anymore, you know. I'm under God. And Paul says, no, 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 no. And then he says something here because this is controversial. But it was said that in that era, some of the temple prostitutes and the lower class prostitutes shaved their heads. Some of them did because they wanted to appeal to both sexes. And so Paul kind of gets ornery here, and he says, look, if you want to, and if it's not that, then another thing is to adulteresses had their heads shaved. And he said, okay, if you want to be liberated and say, I want to be like the women of the world, why don't you just shave your head? Just go all the way, because God says either, you know, you're hot or cold. I don't like lukewarm. I want you to shave your head and be like a temple prostitute or an adulteress. Just go all the way, knowing that as he used that hyperbolic speech, you know. Now, here's the most problematic, one of the most problematic texts in the whole Bible. Look at verse 10. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Now, there's a couple common beliefs here. One that I've taught for years, but I don't so much hold to anymore. In Genesis chapter 6, true story, says the sons of God, which are definitely angels if you do a word study, back in Genesis 6, they saw the women of the world and they started lusting after them. And they took them as wives. And they had kids called the Nephilim, which were gigantic monsters. And that's a true story. And so some people thought, well, what it's saying here is that the women need to stay covered up modest so the angels don't lust after them. And that could be true, but remember those angels that lusted after the women and they came out of their proper form and married those women. God, he bound them up. See, they're gone. A better rendering is this. The New Testament people really, really believe that every time people congregated together to worship the Lord and have church, that the angels came with them, that they were with them. Now, because the angels were all there when Lucifer rebelled against God, and him and one-third of the angels were cast to the earth, because the angels all witnessed this, all the good angels, they're now hypersensitive to any form of rebellion whatsoever. And angels, we need them to not be offended. That could be the case. Look at Ephesians 3 and 10. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places, which are probably in church. 1 Timothy 5, 19 and 21. Do not deceive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two witnesses. Those who continue in sin, rebuke them in front of everybody. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of his chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias. Do nothing out of a spirit of partiality. That means they're in the church watching maybe. Psalms 103 and 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who do, what does it say they do? They perform his word. They perform his word, obey the voice of God. See, there's angels probably here today waiting to perform the word. What words go out, when we speak authoritative up here, they zoom out and say, hey, Pastor Ron and the church has said, and now we're going to make it happen because it's according to God's will. Now, that's probably what they're speaking about. Don't offend these angels. These angels are watching you. They're enamored. They're impressed with what God's doing, and they don't want to see rebellion. They're hypersensitive to rebellion. Now, let's. Paul kind of left you hanging here. He's going to come back and balance stuff now. Look at 11 through 15. However, he says, first of all, the woman's made for the man, da-da-da-da-da, and now he comes back, but let's balance it a little bit. However, in the Lord, it's a little different. Neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman. And let's stop here a second. He says, man, original woman might have been taken out of man's ribs, but man wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a woman. I said very many times, where would we men be at if it wasn't for the woman? It's probably still in the Garden of Eden, eating. She got us kicked out. Just kidding, just kidding, just a joke. See if you're awake. So as a woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God. Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonor to him? Now, it doesn't say it's a sin for a man to have long hair. He said nature teaches you, you know, you see a woman, whoosh, 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 oh, she's beautiful, and turns around, it's a guy. You go, whoa, you know. But there's nothing wrong with it, guys. You can have your hair long. It's some of you look like Fabio, whatever. It looks nice. And then the next verse. But if a woman has long hair, it's her glory. It's a glory to her. Now, what the second part of the question that they asked Paul was this. Okay, should women be covered up in church? He says, yes, they should. What about at home? Should we wear a covering at home? He says, no, your hair is your covering at home. Your hair is your glory, man. Your husband likes that long hair. You don't have to be covered at home. And so he kind of rounds it out here. Now, because we're out of time, look at verse 16, and we'll give you five sentences, and then we're out of here. So if one is inclined to be contentious and say, I don't think that a woman needs to be submitted to a man. I think I'll do my own. Okay, we have no other practice, nor the churches of God. So if you don't want to be like the churches of God, do your own thing. Because we're out of time right now. Let's just do five takeaways. I don't have time to talk about them. What's takeaways from this text? Number one, we need to see the spirit of the letter. What's he trying to say to us? I want order and unity and peace in the home. I want respect and honor. And for that to take place, one needs to assume the leadership role, the other one the submitted role, but work as a team, submitting one to another. Now, guys, the only way this will work is if you serve the daylights out of your woman. I mean, no woman will mind letting a guy lead that's serving the daylights out of her. Just serving her, say, what can I do to make you happy? What do you want? What do you want, man? I will get it for you. You know, there'd be no problem. Number two, takeaway. Oh, this is huge. There's to be a distinction between sexual genders. That's what we learned from this text. Does America need to learn that today or what? Needs to be a distinction. Number three, see the sow and reap law in this passage. I believe with all of my heart, I'm one blessed dude. I'm blessed. And I believe one of the reasons is I give my wife everything she wants. Whatever she wants, I try to get it for her. I love my wife. I serve her. And I believe Jesus does for me what I do for her. And the next one, take away from this text is angels are among us. They're here today. And if you're a single guy, I'm setting you up and look at the lady next to you and say, are you an angel? Yes, don't miss those cues. See, the church world today is afraid to talk about angels and demons. They are very, very real. They're as real as the people set here. And I will teach you about them because I'm not ashamed. Well, I don't want my kids to hear. Maybe your kids need to hear. Don't mess around out there. And the fifth takeaway, acknowledge the principle of 1 Corinthians 12:28. There it gives the gifts of the Spirit that correspond with growth in the Lord. And the second to the bottom, when you're just barely growing, the first thing you have to get right is administration and the home life. You can't get up to teachings and miracles and stuff until you get the home life right. And so you say, well, what if my husband won't assume the role of leadership? Then you just skip over him and go straight to God. If he won't assume it, you have to. You have no choice. But I think you women need to talk to your husband and say, I want you to lead our household. And I will pray for you and encourage you to do that. And again, you don't have to do this to go to heaven, but if you want to be blessed, when this works good, it works really good. And did you learn something today? Next week, in 2 weeks, we're starting about I'm Normal, What About You? It's going to be a fun series on the gifts of the Spirit and how we're different from one another. But let's take a look at this video, and then we're going to go home. Hear you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.